Mentioned briefly, we moved here to Mobile 2 years ago. Moved here from Dusty, West Texas, out near Lubbock, and we just love it here. Love how green it is and beautiful it is and the people that are here mostly. I do stay home with our children. We've got three of them, Riley, Jackson, and Layton. I was going to tell you a story about Jackson really quickly. This is Jackson. Some of you know him. He's wild and rambunctious, a little bit crazy, but oh, so sweet. He is Mama's boy through and through, just has the sweetest heart there is. But he has decided that when he grows up, he's going to be a stay-at-home dad. So I feel that makes mom feel very accomplished, because I guess that made the job look really cool. So we talked to him about it a lot. That's what he set on doing, which if he can find a wife that'll allow that, then that'll be good. But we were talking with the kids one night and visiting with them, asking them different questions and asking them what they wanted to do, and he replied again, "I want to be a stay-at-home dad." Well, Jeremy was kind of, you know, trying to break it to him softly and said, "Well, Bud, if you want to be a stay-at-home dad, you've got to find a wife first." And he said, "Dad, you don't find a wife, you marry a wife." So he's got it all figured out and knows what he's going to do, and makes me so proud, makes me proud of the job that I have, being a wife and a mom. And we'll visit a little bit about that today. But before we get more into that, I've asked if we could say a word of prayer first. So if you guys will join me as we pray.
Our Father, we come before you today thanking you so much for this opportunity. It's a great thing that every year we get together with our fellow Christians, and it's wonderful in our ladies' classes that we get to visit with people that we don't see all the time and that we have a common bond with, and we are followers of you. We pray, dear Lord, this morning that our hearts will be tender, and we will listen to Brittany as she shares with us from your word. Please be with us as we strive to serve you daily. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. I've got most of the Bible verses up here that we'll be looking at today, but if you want to flip and open up your Bible and read them right from your Bible, that's great too. So, again, today we're looking at restoring God's will for women in the home. And I just want to say first that whether we spend our days in the home or whether we spend our days in the workplace, we still have been designed to cultivate our homes and to encourage those in our home to seek God's will. So it really doesn't matter where we're at with our employment status or our marital status or if we have children or not. As women, we still have a calling and a role to seek God's will and cultivate that in our homes. Let's turn over to Romans 12:2. Looking at the will of God. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." We live in a culture that unfortunately seems to downplay a lot of what we as Christian women hold high. Anymore, the role of mom and the role of wife and the role of homemaker can be a negative thing. It can be something that holds you back from going and pursuing other things, when in fact God has said in his word that we are called to high things. We are called to be great and excellent. So we're going to look at a few of those things that define the role that we have as women. First, one of the things that makes up our role is to be a helper. If you want to look at Genesis 2:18, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." That's just one of the things that we're called to be, is a helper. I can't think of anything negative with that. That is a very positive thing. In Proverbs 11:16, it says, a gracious woman gets honor. So another thing that defines our role is being gracious. If you look in Proverbs 21:19, it says, it is better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. We've lived in a desert. We lived in West Texas for a long time, and it's not good. It's not fun. It's not fun. So keep that in mind, that being gracious is a good, good thing. Let's look at Proverbs 14:1. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her hands tears it down. We're made to be builders. We need to build up each other. We need to build up our families and one another. 1 Timothy 3:11, we're to be dignified. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Now, that's talking the role of deacons, but that is what we're called to be as women, is dignified. In 1 Timothy 2:9 through 15, we are to be respectable. And then finally, if you look in Proverbs 31, which is just a great, great portion of scripture to look at on how we are to be as women, overall it says we are to be excellent. That's a high calling, to be excellent. Not just good, but excellent. We have to be excellent. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. It is such a blessing to see that we as women have such an integral part of God's will, such a high calling, such an awesome role, that we get to try every day to fulfill these things in order to grow God's kingdom. So we'll be looking at three different areas that we can practice and examine in order to fulfill those roles that we're called to. The first is seekers. We have to seek after God daily. The second is stewards. We've been entrusted with so much. We are so blessed, and we have to be wise and good stewards of what we've been given. And then finally, we need to lay down our lives, and we need to be servants and an example to those in our homes and those around us of what Christ has done for us. So first, if you guys want to jump over to Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's simple, but it's hard. We have to seek God first above all else. As women in homes, you guys understand that that can be challenging, to seek God first, because we have a lot of other duties in the home. If you're married and if you have children, you understand that there are a lot of things that can get in the way of that. That is still a high calling in order to do those things and care after your home and your family, but it can't come above seeking God first. We have to do that first. If that's not in order, then our home won't be in order. I coach cross country, and one of the things that I tell the kids, that I tell my runners, is if you want to do well, if you want to be fast, you have to want to be fast. It's not enough just to come out and be okay and practice and do what I tell you, but if you don't want it, you're not going to achieve it. And I think the same can be applied to our Christian walk. If we are not wanting to seek after God, and if we are not striving to do that, we're not going to. We have to find that motivation within to daily seek after him first above all else. I have some old recipes of my grandmother's. She's very, very close to me. She passed away recently, and so I received some of her old recipes, which I love and hold very dear. And some of them are handwritten, and, you know, in her beautiful handwriting, which I look at. And she would write me letters all the time, which I have also. But it's just nice to see, you know, her handwriting like that. But I have some of her old recipes. Some are favorites of mine that she made for me. Others are dishes that I remember her preparing at other things. A lot of the little recipe cards have little splatters of grease on them because she used them. And I love that. So I remember she was holding this, you know, and it's just so special to me. But she has this one recipe that I didn't know, just going through a recipe box, I never knew that she had that. She never made it, but I was going to share that with you. It's called Elephant Stew. Some of you may have heard of this before, maybe not. Here's how it works. First, you need to hunt the elephant. Then you need to cut that elephant into bite-sized pieces. This is going to take about 2 months. Then, using large kettles, you need to simmer equal parts elephant and vegetables with enough broth to cover. You cook for a couple days. If more are expected, add the rabbit, but only do this if necessary, because nobody likes hair in their stew. She never made it for me. I just loved it. I thought that was so cute that she probably saw it somewhere and wrote that down, but I just thought that was so sweet. But when I was just looking through, I thought, well, this is in perfect order, like most recipes are. She had her priorities right. She knew that she couldn't cook that elephant until she had the elephant, until she hunted the elephant. She put her priorities straight. She had to hunt the elephant first before she could make the stew. And that's just like us. Before we can go about being a great wife and being a great mom and looking after the responsibilities of our home, we have to seek God first. We have to have our priorities right. I think that's so funny. I don't know if anybody's actually ever made that or not before, but I think that's pretty neat. We're going to look at the story of Mary and Martha. It's in Luke 10:38. Most of you know the story well. I think the story was written about me. But let's go ahead and read it. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So we have daily the choice. I love right there that he says, Mary has chosen the good portion. A lot of times, personally speaking, when I'm at home, I feel like I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to get the laundry done, get the pills taken, get, you guys know all the responsibilities you have at home. And there are a lot of have-tos. But we have the choice. We get to choose the good portion. And we need to remember that every day to make the right choice. We have to choose, and we have to put our priorities in the right order. Flip over to Matthew 25 now. We're going to read this part. It's a little lengthy, but it is a great parable for being a good steward. You guys can follow along if you like. Matthew 25:14. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received with my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he who will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Man, that can be a really terrifying illustration and parable to read. We have all been entrusted with so much in here. We have all been blessed with so many things. I remember we were about to move here and we were having a garage sale. And we were borrowing a friend's truck and he had this beautiful big red Dodge truck, big wheels, really big back so we could put a lot of stuff in there. And we were a little nervous, but he said we could borrow it, you know, to move some things and that sort of stuff. And we were so careful with that truck. You know, it's hard to drive because you pretty much go over the whole lane and that thing. But we were so cautious and so careful. And when we took it back to him, before we did, we vacuumed it out. We took it through the car wash, and then we filled it up with gas. Because that man was so kind to let us borrow and trust us with something of his, we wanted to return it back to him better than when he gave it to us. And that is what we need to be doing. That's the attitude we need to have. We've been entrusted. We have been given and blessed with so many things by God. And we need to make sure that when we return them, we are returning them better than when we got them. Mostly I'm talking about our children. What a blessing. If you have children, do you remember that moment you held your firstborn? Do you remember all the emotions that you had? The joy, just the elation of having a child? I remember a big one being fear. I was scared because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I was going to break her. I didn't, you know, God had blessed us with such a wonderful gift, and I knew that. He had entrusted us with something so great, and I was scared, and I'm daunted by the task that I have to give her back even better. That is a huge, huge blessing, and we've been entrusted with so much, we cannot be complacent about that. I love this quote by Andy Stanley. He says, your greatest contribution to the kingdom may not be something you do, but someone you raise. I think that's so, so powerful. Because, again, in our culture, a lot of times, for women, not in all instances for sure, but in some cases for women, children can be a burden. They can be what's holding them back from pursuing more, or doing better, or being greater. That we have something great. Having someone to raise up in the Lord and teach his ways is a wonderful blessing and a daunting task, but great nonetheless. We're going to move on and we're going to look at Galatians 5:13, if you want to flip over there. Now, we've seen that first we have to seek God. We have to seek him above all else. And next, we have to be good stewards and wise with what we have been entrusted. Now, we're going to go ahead and look at how we are called to be servants. Galatians 5:13 says, but through love, serve one another. And so, I mean, there's 6 words right there. But that's not easy. That's not always easy. For some of us, it is easier than for others. Everybody is gifted in different areas. And for some, serving is a gift of yours. But it's not always easy to lay down ourselves, lift up others, and serve them. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." So no matter what you're gifted in, we need to make sure that we are using it to serve God. Serving in your home, you are serving God. Your husband, you're serving God. Serving your church, you're serving God. Through doing all of things, you are serving God. I think we need to remember that no matter how trivial the daily task may feel, it still matters. It's easy to get caught up in the chores and the stress that life has. But if we continue to remind ourselves that whatever we are doing, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Doesn't that give you so much more purpose when you know that you are working for the Lord? You aren't just working to make sure your house is neat and tidy, but you're working for the Lord. You're not just working to make sure that your children are safe and comfortable, happy and fed, but you are working for the glory of God. That is a powerful, powerful thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read a story that I found some time back that illustrates this really well for me. It just really touched me. There was a woman that she was feeling very discouraged. She was a wife and a mom. She stayed home with her children and was just feeling very discouraged. She saw her friends that were successful doing different things, and she had a longing to do those things, to be great and successful and do those things. So she was feeling really discouraged. And a friend of her brought her a book. It was a book on the great cathedrals of Europe. She says, "I wasn't exactly sure why she had given it to me until I read her inscription. It says, 'With admiration for the greatness of what you are building when no one sees.' In the days ahead, I would read the book, and I would discover what would become for me four life-changing truths after I could pattern my work. The first being, no one can say who built the great cathedrals. We have no record of their name. Second, these builders gave their whole lives for a work they would never see finished. Third, they made great sacrifices and expected no credit. And the fourth, the passion of their building was fueled by their faith that the eyes of God saw everything." There is a story in the book, a legend that went like this. In the book, told of a rich man who came to visit the cathedral while it was being built. And he saw a workman carving a tiny bird on the inside of a beam. He was puzzled and asked the man, "Why are you spending so much time carving that bird into a beam that will be covered by the roof? No one will ever see it." And the workman replied, "Because God sees." I think that's the work that we do a lot of times. It may go unnoticed. It may go without credit. It may go without record of whoever did it, but nonetheless, God sees it. God sees it. And whatever we're doing, it needs to be for the glory of God. It doesn't matter if we have recognition, even from those that we are serving. That's not why we're doing it. We're doing it because we want to glorify God. We want to be an example of Christ so that we can show others and hopefully bring them to Christ. I just love that story so much. I think it's so powerful. Our culture has a lot to say about the roles of women today. Different things, you can see them all over the place. But we know and we have seen that the Bible, that God's Word, has a lot to say too. I pray that you will choose wisely what you're going to listen to. it's hard because we're surrounded by it and we're bombarded with it every single day. But I see a room full of women in here who are examples, many of you that I know, who are great examples of tuning out what the world says and listening and making an example of what Christ calls us to be. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's a great encouragement. We have an important role in our homes, and I hope today you've been first motivated to work diligently in your homes as if working for the Lord. And then secondly, I hope that you have been encouraged that what you're doing is significant and it does have a very big impact on God's kingdom. So with that, I just want to thank you all so much for your time today. That's all I have for you. But I appreciate your attention, and your warm, smiling faces makes my nerves go down a little bit. But I really appreciate you letting me come and share with you today. Thank you.